So yesterday we looked at Gemara, the bottom of Beis Mabeis, Abedu Peretz's Heora, about how the Gemara is transitioning from Keret to Shein Rego. And once Neshicha, Revitza, and Be'itha are told us of Karen rather than Shein Rego, that's what sort of the nail in the coffin. That's what makes it clear that Karen is not going to be the Av that Rav Papa had in mind, that is told to say in Lav Kiyotzben, so we turn our attention to Shein Rego. Gemara opened with the Braisa that defined that Pasuk Dal is being Shein Rego, the Vashilach is Rego, Rubir is Shein. The Gemara had the Raya for each, a Pasuk from Yeshaya to define Shiluach as Rego, a Pasuk from Melachim, Malachim Al Perek Yudal Pasuk Yud, the words of Achia Hashiloni to Esha Tzirava that define Biur as Shein. We spent a little time yesterday on the different approaches that we've shown them have. How do you know that Pasuk is indeed talking about Shein? The Pasuk of Yeshaya uses the word Rego. The Pasuk in Malachim does not directly use the word Shein. Uses Golol. So we saw three different approaches. And we discussed yesterday a little bit the point that Rabbeinu Peretz makes, that the second approach of Rashi is unique, and that the second approach, according to Rabbeinu Hanal, quoted in Tosus of the Radak, that according to the first approach in Rashi, the word Golol is actually a way of saying tooth. Either because Golol means marble, and it's a metaphor for teeth, or because Golol is Miloshin Megule. And notice this morning in Seder, Rashi in front of us says that the tooth is pa'amim megula, sometimes is visible, where Rabbeinu Peretz quotes it, he says the tooth is always visible. Maybe it's a slightly more attractive way of looking at it. Yesterday you had pointed us also to Gimel Beis, Mave Nivu Mitzpuna, which I realized afterwards was a very good point, because the Pasuk in Ovadia talks about revealed and hidden, but the word Mava itself just means revealed. And we're using Mava to mean the shame. So that was a very good point. That may be driving forward the first approach in Rashi. The second approach in Rashi, so while the first approach in Rashi and the approach in Rebbe Hananel are understanding that Gala actually means tooth, the second approach in Rashi says Gala means the result, the end result of a digestive process, not the tooth itself. And Rabbeinu Peretz explains, I think we spoke about this outside yesterday, I don't know if it was read inside, Peretz explains that that's often going to be the case in Hebrew, specifically in Biblical Hebrew, that you might have a sentence that doesn't have the subject. You don't always have the subject. We do that in English also, we use pronouns. I might say, I read a book, I might just say, I read it. I say it, so it means the thing that I read. The chap in Hebrew is that you don't even have to have a separate pronoun because pronouns are built into the verbs. Because while if I say ran, you're not sure that means I ran or he ran or she ran or you ran. If I say ratzti, obviously I ran. If I say ratz, obviously I mean he ran. Because the pronoun is built into every single past or future verb in Hebrew. That's lies behind the point of it Peretz made, which we spoke about briefly yesterday, that you can have a missing subject in a Hebrew sentence. Because once you say yivaer, it means he or it is doing biur. So we might specify who he or it is, or it might just be self-understood from context. It's self-understood if you're talking about chewing and digesting, we're talking about the teeth are doing the chewing. And what are they chewing? The food. To the point where it finally becomes galal. Kashi yiva'er ha-galal al-tumo, according to the second approach in Rashi, which again we saw is the dominant approach on the page of Mikros Kedolos, in terms of the Befarshei HaTanach, in Melachim, is it means as it chews it into galal al-tumo. As the tooth chews the food, until it turns to the point where it digests the food until it becomes gold, until it becomes the end result, until it becomes excrement. So that's that third approach, as Rabbeinu Peretz explains it. And again, in poetic context, it makes a lot of sense. Achia Shiloni's objective, the divine objective that he was given, was to speak very harshly to Eishes Yeravam. At that point, they had sinned repeatedly, and that's what they deserve. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Achia Shiloni, Eishes Yeravam is going to show up, and you're going to give her a hard time. And he does. So it's not surprising that the one item that he highlights is not the tooth or the food, but the doll. But in context, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so that's a interesting corner of this sugya. And then we yesterday left off just by looking at the Gemara Machal Karna and leaving a couple of questions hanging. So let's take a look. Let's start to solve some of those questions. Let's put together some of the arts that you had over the course of Seder. Amar Mar V'Shilach Zuhar Regal Atam Lani Gimla Ben Aleph V'chein Hu Omer V'Shalachei Regal Hashor V'Achama. That term, that verb in the middle of the pasuk, the two verbs, v'shilach and rubir, so v'shilach, but yesterday we have, according to the Bavli, presumably, and no point that, that Rashi seems to understand that the beginning of the pasuk is not about shein v'regel, unlike the Yerushalmi, according to the Bavli, the beginning of the pasuk is not shein v'regel, the beginning of the pasuk, Rashi, the Torah seems to say, is the preliminary to the shein v'regel, the fact that the owner was careless with his animal and allowed his animal to leave the safe zone of the owner's domain. And then what happened subsequently was the shilach u'bir, did rego or shein. How do I know that the shilach is rego? So we felt the need to prove it with this pasuk in Yeshayahu. Nu, frak the Gemara, time at the kasar achman v'shalach rego ashar v'chamar. The only reason that we know that it's rego, that we can determine it's rego, is because of the pasuk. Otherwise, I would think what? Halav hakim ha'mukos lo. Let's say you have the pasuk. What else would I have said? Karen? Tziv. Shane? Tziv. Everything else is already spoken for. I have a pasuk for Gassel, I'm spoken for Karen. I have a beard that means Shane. So I have a process of elimination. Obviously, not anything left. This is a regal. So why do I have to prove, why do I need to adduce external proof of a pasuk in Yeshayahu? Obviously, Vashilach is regal. And as we mentioned yesterday, that's an overlay on top of the fact that that is what the term sounds like. Mashiach sounds like travel. So it lends itself, it suggests itself to be a nezek that's occurring while the animal is moving. And there's nothing else left. Don't tell me, no, maybe it's really Karen Shane, that was already spoken for. The Gemara says, no, it could mean regal, but it could also have been Shane. And I need an itzrich, I need the pasuk in Yeshayahu to demonstrate that shiluach is a specifically a travelish term, which again is what makes us think that it is regal. I could have argued they're both shame. But yes, the shiluach sounds like travel. That's the whole point of the pasuk in Yeshayahu. What would I have assumed otherwise? Then I would have assumed it's shame. Why would I have assumed it's shame? Because there are two types of shame. I need a pasuk to tell me shame, which is b'chalei karna. I need another pasuk to tell me shame, which is not b'chalei karna. So that's what I would have thought, and I would have left regel high and dry. If not for the pasuk Yeshayahu, I would have said both Mashiach and Bir are two different tracks of shame, and there is no pasuk for regel. In fact, regel is potter. Gevalt. That's why I need the pasuk Yeshayahu. Say, no, regel is high, and Mashiach means regel. Mashiach doesn't mean shame. Ka mashma lo. Ka mashma lo. Okay, so the Gemara says, they said, we left off yesterday, that there are three things might bother us. Number one, what is that? Do we mean by Mechalei Karna? Why do you define Mechalei Karna? Number two is, why is it a relevant category? Why would I assume that we're talking about Mechalei Karna? Did we say, I would have assumed, oh yeah, one pause here, I would have assumed we're talking about the, if he's eating organic. If he's eating non-organic, maybe you're not trying. Oh, is there a question saying if he eats non-organic fruits and vegetables? Yeah? No. And then the third problem, which is the problem the Gemara raises, is your teretz is so good, you explain the Havamina so well, it's the danger of explaining the Havamina very well. You explain the Havamina very well, you explain it so well, and then you're not sure why it's not the Maskana. You explain it to me so well that, ooh, without the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, I would have said that we need two Pesukim from Mechalei Karna, lo Mechalei Karna, so that was so convincing. We need two Pesukim from Mechalei Karna, lo Mechalei Karna. But we don't have two psukim. I would have had two psukim. But instead, I moved one to regals. Now I only have one pasuk. So taka. The girl says, well, hashu kim na regals, v'shein lo v'chai kari minolam. So taka, how do you know that shein is right lo v'chai kari? We're assuming that you are chayiv. Someone asks, well, why is the girl even assuming that you are chayiv? Maybe taka your pater. So it could be, certain tosas points out that the Gemara later on this oven, they have an example of shein lo v'chai kari. That is tinfa peres ta'anasa, the animal soils the fruit. So according to tosas, is a classic example of lo v'chai kari. So there you have it. We know that lo v'chai kari is chayiv, but why? You just made a cogent argument that just because I know that shein is chayiv v'chai kari, it doesn't automatically indicate that tree even by lo v'chai kari. In the absence of a second pasuk, I should assume the shein is limited. So, well, actually, we are in the absence of a second pasuk, because that other pasuk got used for rega. So, nu, the Gemara answers, no, I really do have the second pasuk. Yes, it's used for rega, but it's going to boomerang back to help us here, too. Dumya de rega. If not for saying that the second pasuk is rega, that what does that second pasuk mean? Shein lo v'chai kari. But now that he's the second pasuk for rega, I say, okay, that second pasuk is rega. I don't have a pasuk for shein, which initially only indicates the highest form of shein, shein which is mechal karna, but I can make a drasha from rega to shein. Dumya de rega, I can compare shein to rega. Ma rega lo shem mechal karna lo shem lo mechal karna. It doesn't, by rega we'll differentiate. Av shein lo shem mechal karna lo shem lo mechal karna. So too, just as I know that by regal we don't differentiate, so too by shein we do not differentiate. So lemaisa, I do have two psukim. I have a pasuk of shein. I have a pasuk of regal. And regal teaches me that shein expands shein to include even lo mechalia karna. And then the Gemara has the exact shakavataria in mirror image. Why I need that? Why I have to prove that chain? What would I have thought otherwise? How would I otherwise have interpreted beer? Is it the exact same thing with switching chain and regal? Just like we just said, we're not for proving that Mashiach is regal, I would have assumed both psukim are two versions of chain. We now we say, if I wouldn't have proved that beer is chain, I would assume they have two versions of rego. I would say both are rego. I would have said, oh, there are two types of rego. Where I actually send it, and it goes and damages, versus when I just allow it. The Gemara says, no. So, taka, now that I have only one positive for rego, hashtu uki hashem, so how do I know the rego as a mela is chayiv? So, no, same thing. Learn from shame. Mashem lashon shal shaluchi lashon da'az mela. Once I'm not differentiating by Shane, I'll learn from Shane to Reg. Okay. So that's the basic layout. I'm about to move on. The other things, I don't know why I need to psukim. We'll get to the later stages later. But for now, so the Gemara laid out, I would have had a hobby to differentiate Shane into two levels. The more high level of Mechal Karna, less high level of Mechal Karna. I would have had a hobby to differentiate Reg. Into two. So now, with that in mind, let's come back to our two questions. Our two questions were, number one, what is Mechal Karna? How you define it? And we'll take a look at Rashi and Tosfos in a moment. And then we'll also figure out, well, why does it matter? Well, why should that have been a reason of a meaningful differentiation? By regal, both those problems are not so much of an issue. Pretty clear what difference is in Johnson and Bain Shal Chulfe. Did it go on its own or did it actually give it a slack and send it at the at the fence? And we understand well why it should be more likely to be chayiv on Shal Chulfe than Azameh. I never sent the animal. So I bear more liability if I was actively Bakumba say I sent it out versus where I passed with Meshav Al Tasa, I wasn't proactive in keeping it here. But Mechal Karna, we have to define what it is and we have to define why it matters. And first, a question for our sponsor.
So, when the Gemara then, after the Hamadiyah, that you could use both parts of the Pasuk to teach you one Mechal Karna, one Mechal Karna, by Shem, Then we say we know part of the pasuk is for rego. So the maskana is that we're only learning the halyakana from the pasuk about shame. So we say, where do we know lom halyakana? And then we say, oh, we learn from rego. How do you know that you're chaya of lom halyakana by rego? And if the whole, according to Rashi, if the whole rationale for the second part of the pasuk being mechayakana is ubir, but v'shilach is not mashma anything really, then how could you learn out if you have specifically ubir by shame? Maybe you're not actually chaya of lom halyakana.
Good, so thank you for reformulating the questions that we have, which again are, let's ask, you added one or two features. We want to know what Mechalei Karna is, and then we want to figure out why Mechalei Karna would have mattered in the Havamina, and specifically you're stressing, it seems like it was only Havamina that should matter by shame. Was there a Havamina that if I set fire to your house, it doesn't burn down entirely, but it's ruined, then I should be potter? It sounds from the Gemara that regel was pashut, that we don't differentiate. And why differentiate by regel too? You're right. As you continue the Gemara, that second from becomes more troublesome because apparently something specific to shame. It's not like I could have had a havmina. Chi of nezek in general is only when there was utter destruction, but that's not the havmina. Apparently, the havmina only that shame would have been limited to utter destruction. You have to ask yourself why. Right. That's right. That's what you see. The question develops further, sort of adds nuance as you work your way through the sugya. Yeah, Nadav? Question about Nadav, and then let's dive in.
We said that part of the Havana is that Azul Mamela, you might be putter because you didn't actually perform a Maisa. But wasn't that one of our Havaminas in the Mishnah for what Nezek is, and then we said it's not that Nezek is about Shmira?
That's a very good. Oh,
so
ooh.
How could you possibly have the Havamina if we know that Nezek is about Shmira?
Very good.
Let's turn
your Ha'ara around a little bit. You could say that that's actually, that you could argue that Lundus is actually being moved forward right here. And that's the whole point. Havamina, you're saying the Havamina maybe was like, I have to have only Chayev if there was a Maisa. And Maskana was not. And that's Mamash what you learned from the Pesukim. That's very exciting. And the Pesukim came before the Mishnah. Right?
Yeah.
So maybe, I would say, instead of asking as a kasha, I would say, maybe this is the mucker. Here's the mucker in the deepest level. Here's the mucker in Pesukim.
But the Pesukim don't have the Havamina. The Gemara has the Havamina.
Well,
the Gemara says, maybe based on this pasuk, you'd be putter for Azul Mamela. And I'm saying, how can you say that you'd be putter for Azul Mamela if that's our first mission of the
Gemara? No, we're saying that I wouldn't. Gemara is saying that if I need to learn, I learn from Shane to Regal, that we don't limit to Shalach Shluchim. So that's the source. Learn from Shane. Now, that's level one, my response to you. Level two is, I'm not sure it's exactly the same thing. There's the Hakir that we're discussing when we learn the Mishnah, is whether the Chi of Amamon HaMazik is because my Mamon did a Maisa, or because I was my irresponsibility. Here we're not talking about the Maisa of my Shar. Here we're talking the Maisa thing. I myself might have done, which we reject. That's for sure reject. In other words, when we discuss the Hakir in the Mishnah, I think that the dominant view in Achronim is that, and in Rishonim, is that Lemaskana the Chiyav Tashlum and Amam Namazik is driven by the human owner's Pshia rather than the properties. Maisa. There are those who disagree, and there are those who do like that side. But here, we're really a third angle, which is the human owner's Maisa. And that, for sure, is rejected. You definitely do not have to do a Maisa in order to be chai in what your mama is. Maybe your mama has to do a Maisa, or maybe that's also not necessary. But here, it's sort of a third level. Okay, so let's take a look here. So let's take a look. You spend time with Rashi and Tosis. All right, let's take a look at what they say. Let's try to tease out what are the problems, the pros and cons, or the kashas, in the Makar Lakar. So what did Rashi say the Mechalei Karna means? What did Rashi say? Idi and Idi, both terms, Rashi says, Ashilach and Ubir, I would have thought they're both shame. The Shilach, Asa L'chayub. So why do you need a second term? B-Ray told me, but the Shilach adds, in a case where the principal item is not totally destroyed. The mashmak is going to chop aruga b'sofer lachs of mitzvah. What's an example that the animal, that my goat, entered your property and munched on your grass and munched on your cabbage? Aruga is a patch. The sofalach of mitzvah, it'll grow back. It can have a little katchila, but it's not going to. It'll come back, but it's not going to be as high quality as virgin growth. The feather, who had the original growth of the season, that would be really high quality stuff. The goat came in months, something else will grow in its place, but it won't be quite as good. So that's low kalia karma. That's what we learn from Mashiach. What will be there is mechalia karma. And after all, that's what the word will be here means, Rashi says. The zayir legam. Like beer chavit, beer of Odozar. Or think about the original context of that pasuk. Kashir varabol atumo. We're talking about total. That's Achi Hashil on his point. Total annihilation. Okay. So the first thing you notice in this Rashi is that he's talking about, he's telling you what Mechalei Karna means. Mechalei Karna means the animal munched this, but it's not going to be the same. The Tosis, as you saw, gets very upset. Tosis gets very... It's going to grow back, but it won't be the same as the first time. Right? I'm sorry?
It's Loma.
Right, oh, did I say it backwards? Loma Halikarna means that the animal munched it. It'll ultimately grow back, and the other grass will grow in its place, but it won't be as high quality as the original grass that was destroyed. So it's not a total loss. Not a total. That's what it sounds like. So Tosis says, a very simple... logical problem for the Rashi. Right? Pirusha kuntri shacha shasul tzmoah havalo katila. You have grass. Tosis adds, the word does not appear in our Rashi. So as the grasses that will grow back, but not the way it was the first rain. The kasha of mechalei karna. How do you call it mechalei karna? How do you call it mechalei karna? The owners could also cut. Well, what does that mean, the owners could also cut? It's very brief in his kasha. What does he mean? What does he mean? What he means to say is... He said, I don't understand. I went to the store, I bought a bag of potato chips. Right? You came by, your chinchilla... I don't know if chinchillas eat potato chips. Let's imagine they do. Your chinchilla breaks into my apartment and eats up my potato chips. Says, oh, it's Loma Chalei Karna. I could always go to the store and buy another bag of potato chips. Well, that's ridiculous. Of course I could. But you destroyed that bag of potato chips. I should have had to get another bag of potato chips. What does it help? But I could have had two bags. I could have gone to the store to buy a second bag and I would have two bags. That's what Tosis is saying. I'm going to show him to expand him a little more, but that's essentially what Tosfos is saying. Gama ba'am hevichol l'ktsar means it's true, your goat came and ate my grass, other grass will grow in its place. That's very nice. But I myself could have picked my grass, I could have fed that grass to my animals, and then there would have been a second round of grass afterwards. So it's true that other grass will grow later, but this grass is gone. I could have enjoyed this grass in addition to having other grass. And now I can't enjoy this grass. I'll have other grass, but that doesn't make up for it. Right? There's today and there's tomorrow. If I waste time today, I could get done tomorrow what I would have done today, but I'm not going to get today's time back. I could have had today and tomorrow. I wasted today, now I just have tomorrow. That's Mechalei Karna. Tosis is asking a simple logical question. How is that Mechalei Karna? You're saying that if I harvest the grass, I get a second crop. So your animal decided to harvest my grass. But I could have had my animal harvest my grass, and I would have had two crops. Crop number one and crop number two. Now your animal ate up my crop number one. So Budashvech will have a crop number two in a month from now. But you totally destroyed crop number one. That's total destruction. What does it help that another crop will grow later? But I could have had both crop one and two. You totally destroyed crop one. As the Tosa says, I don't understand Rashi. How bad was it called Litzar? I mean, I could have harvested crop one myself and grown a crop number two. You totally destroyed item number one. How was that Loma Chalei Karna? That's Tosa's problem. It's not that you ate it up and the other will grow in its place. That's mamash mechal yikarmel. Tinfa is his lomachai karna is like the Gemara says later on the Yomit, some of you may have gotten there after the two dots. The Gemara gets to, let's take a look for a moment. Told us that told us of Shein Mayi. What are told us of Shein?
Yes.
Time. Nischacha b'kosa l'hanasa. Let's say the animal had a scratch, so it rubs up against the wall to, and the animal had an itch. So the animal rubs against the wall to scratch its itch, and the wall wasn't so strong, the animal ends up knocking the wall over. Right? So it was seeking pleasure and seeking relief for its itch. It ended up causing damage. So that's a told of shame because it's yeshad al azik. Or tinfa peres lahanasa. It soiled fruit for its own pleasure, meaning the animal needed to relieve itself. They relieved itself, it dropped and it left droppings, and they happened to fall on top of the pile of fruit on the floor. And the animal left its droppings and it fell smack on top of the fruits. So it was lahanasa, yeshad al azik, it got relief. And in getting relief, it ended up soiling the fruits. So Tosin says, oh, that told of Shein, that's a perfect example of Lama Chai Karna. Why? Why is it Lama Chai Karna? Right, because it's the fruits are still there. It's not, oh, those fruits are gone, but we'll find other ones to replace them. No! Those fruits are still there. They just got dirty. So they need some fixing, but they're not totally gone. Rashi's case, the goats came and ate the first crop of grass. Now the grass is gone. So it says, that's Kaliakarna. But here, the fruit says, here, they just got a little, they need some fixing. Okay. So if it's still there, but needs fixing, so that's a case of lo Mechaliakarna. That's a case that can pass the sniff test that Tosa set up. They think that Rashi's case is not logical, and their case is a better fit for Loma Kali Karma. Yeah.
If Loma Kali Karma can only exist by a Tolda of Shane, then obviously Tolda is saying Lav Kiyot Behem, but Mar says Tolda is saying Kiyot Behem.
Meaning, if
the Av of Shane itself, if you eat the crops, that's considered Makali Karma. But if you leave droppings on the crops, that's Loma Kali Karma, then obviously Tolda Tan, Lav Kiyot Behem. The Tolda of Shane is not like the Av of Shane.
That's an interesting point. That would be true were the din to be that Loma Chai Karna is Pata. But in fact, the din sounds like from the Gemara that Loma Chai Karna is Chai. Right? The Gemara said, how do you know that Loma Chai Karna is Chai? We said we learned from Rego. As an aside, the Kuntus and Shiur, we're not going to get into it, if you want to take a look, Rav Gusman, Kuntus and Shiurim, he actually points that there is a Meiri who seems to say they were Rishonim who thought Loma Chai Karna is Pata. That fits with the Gemara, but it's usually assumed Loma Chai Karna is Chai. So it might say it's told to say it's
Kiyotzeh. But they're not Kiyotzeh Behem because the case of the Tolda is Loma Chai Karna,
and still Chai.
Is Mechai Karna.
But they're both Chai, they're the same din.
But I'm saying that they're different cases.
Well, but Loma Kiyotzeh doesn't mean they're the same case.
That there's no
Kiyotzeh means they're the same halach. Of course they're different cases. That's why one's not one of the Tolda. Okay. The point is that the difference doesn't make a difference. So that the difference in the cases doesn't translate into different halachic rulings. And you always have to differentiate between what's the case and what's the din that we apply to. Yeah, right, that's the simple reading of the Gemara.
So then
leaving the Gemara aside.
And what's the filler?
There isn't.
Why are they different?
There isn't. We thought the halachic would have been the Lama Chai Karna's Pata. Kamash Malan, that's how it is. But it's a legitimate Havmina, which is what necessitated this extra pasuk and that extra pasuk. It would have been a logically sound argument to make. In the abstract, without added information, I would have, should have said that when the Torah said, Shein is Chai, that's limited to Mechalei Karna. Were it not for the fact that I have the pasuk in Yeshaya and or the Hekesh from Rebel, that's the conclusion I would have come to. It would have been logical, but it's false, for the Torah told me that it's false.
So the Havamina doesn't know Tolos and Piyotzeh
Behem. Well, I mean, that's that, in other words, Rav Papa is an Amora who made a comment about Tolos and Piyotzeh Behem. But he's not. We're starting at a much earlier stage. We're saying, looking at the psukim, what should it be? If we would have come to a different conclusion, they would have said, you're right, Tolosei Lav Kiyotzeh Behem. But we didn't come to that conclusion.
Right.
Because the psukim aren't bound by what Rapapa said. Rapapa is bound by what the psukim said. You're on to another important point, though, which is Tosis turns around and says, well, there is a problem. The Tolda piece does create a problem. And they try to think about Rashi's approach to what, and Tosis' approach to what, and you ask yourself, like, what are the problems with each? The Tosis already told us what he thinks the problem with Rashi is, which we'll get back to, which is, it seems illogical to call it Lamechali Karna. I mean, that first round of grass is gone. On the other hand, Tosis themselves also go on to point out the problem with their approach, which is, along the lines of what Nadav said, but not even getting so fancy. You mean Lamechali Karna is a Tolda? Why is it a Tolda? I thought it's an Av. We have a Pasuk. We have a Drasha. We have a Hekish that tells me to include Lamechali Karna. And let's build this out more. Mela, according to Rashi, the Lamechali Karna cases include munching themselves. Okay, so if you're munching, you're actually eating, that's the Av. Once you're going beyond eating to other types of Hana, like the scratching and the relieving itself, that's already told them. But according to Tosfos, who thinks that whenever you're munching, that's by definition Mechali Karna, according to Tosfos, in any case of Lo Mechali Karna, the only case of Lo Mechali Karna are do not involve actually consumption. So if we have a Pasuk that tells me Lo Mechali Karna, that means the Pasuk is saying more than just eating. So why is Tinfat Peres Ha'anasa a Tolda? It should be an Av. That's what Tosfos, again, very, very subtly asks. Take a look inside. It happens so quickly in the Tosfos. There's so much happening that you can miss. Again, Yeshlom, let's start from the top. Rashi said, Shachas, Asulat Smokha Velo Katfila. The Kosher. Tosfos says, Rashi is very schwer. Machali, that is Machali Karna. I can call that Lo Machali Karna. That is Machali Karna. You ate the grass. You ate crop number one of the grass. The owners could have cut it themselves if they wanted, meaning that maybe things will grow tomorrow, but this item is not coming back. And the owner could have had this item in addition to the next item. Eliyahu Shlomatosa says, I reject Rashi because of that. Tasha, what am I going to say instead? Nah, we don't mean you're eating something that will grow back. We mean tinfa peres ha'anasa, not eating at all. We did something else to the guy's property that it didn't destroy it, but it's going to need fixing. In this case, it's going to need cleaning. But then he Tosfos says very, very subtly, Mikol Mako, Kore L'Kaman T'Nifas Peiros L'Hanasa Tolda. Yet, we still call Tinfa Peiros L'Hanasa a Tolda later on the other, which is, again, a very subtle way of saying, Vim Tomar, this is what the Pasuk is talking about, should be an Av. Isn't that definition of an Av? That's in the Pasuk. This is a Pasuk. Yom says, well, it's not such a problem. He's about to explain why not. The Rajva thinks it's a very big problem. And that the Rajva ultimately comes back to accepting Rashi because of this Kasha Tosis asks on himself. He's not so fond of Tosis' answer. What does Tosis say? Mikama kam kari lakaman zetifas peris anas. I told him, yet even though the pasuk that teaches me that lo machaliy karna is included, but yet we call it a tolda. Why? Kevan de pashte de kra ari ba achila de machaliy karna. Yeah, but the simple meaning of the pasuk is talking about eating. What just happened? So what I think it means is the following. I'll lay it out now, but maybe we'll deal with it a greater breadth when we get to the bottom of the omelet, because I think it's going to come up again. But it sounds like Tosfos is saying it's a big, big yisoy. When I say an av that which appears in the chumash, a told that which does not appear in the chumash, what do you mean appear in the chumash? Do you mean Torah shebichsav tshuva shemikra, or do you even mean a drasha, like a hekesh? So what Tosfos is saying is an av means something that appears in the Torah shebichsav tshuva shemikra. How do we know lo machaliy karna? Vishilach doesn't mean lo machaliy karna lemaskana. Vishilach means regel, but we have a hekesh to say, well, just like by regel lo machaliy karna includes, so too shame. That's not Torah shebichsav, that's a drasha. That's a hekesh. So that's already a tolda. That's tolda language. That's what Tosos thinks. Rashi might disagree. So that's an interesting issue that's coming up that you didn't see coming. It's sort of this open up a world of how do we looking at Tarshu Bechsav versus Tarshu Apeh. Or maybe even thinking about different levels. It's not absolutely Dirash Pasit, but it is a Hekish. Tosa says, even if it's a Hekish, that's already called Tarshu Apeh, that's a Talta. Only Mamish Purush HaMikra is enough. That's the argument Tosa makes in order to defend their approach to Loma Chai Karna. Because again, you want to tell me Loma Chai Karna is only going to be something like Tifa Paris Ahanasa, but the Gemara later that one says it's a Tolda. How is that a Tolda? That's what we're learning here from Hekish. No, says, don't worry, Hekish doesn't make it enough. I was only Mamish directly in Chumash. Okay. So that's again. So we have two approaches to Mechal Karna, Loma Chai Karna. We have Rashi and we have Tosa. So let's talk a little more. Let's talk. There's another problem with Tosas. We'll talk a little more about Tosas, and if you have time, we'll come back to. Actually, how many of you saw the Gemara and Daf Sadeches? Few. Okay. I'll tell you enough time quickly, and then if you have time, maybe we'll swing back also in a couple minutes. To talk about Rashi. There's a second problem with Tosas. Aside from the problem that Tosas himself raises, that Tifa Peres Lahanasa is a Tolda, so it's hard to say that is the Mechalo Mechal Karma that the Hekesh is teaching me. There's another problem, which is. So Tifa Peres Lahanasa, let's understand the case. So what happened? So the animal relieves itself on the fruit. So now the fruit are still there, but they need fixing. Right? Meaning, so what are you chayiv for? What would be the chiyuv? So my end, if Reuven's animal relieves itself on Shimon's fruit, so then what? So what does Reuven owe Shimon? Well, not the value of the fruit. The fruit's still there, but you got to pay for someone to clean them. Right? You got to pay for someone to clean them. I'll leave you for tomorrow. You'll take a look at a Gemara later in Bava Kama with Tafsai Ches. Rabbi Naftali Trop points out, again, as I mentioned yesterday, it could be this was a shear that was repeated by Dr. Belkin in this building. Rabbi Naftali Trop points out that if you look at the Gemara later in Bava Kama with Tafsai Ches, the Gemara of the coin of the diver, it's not so clear that you would be chayiv to pay for cleaning in this case. That's something that needs to be dealt with. Naftali has an answer. He is very fancy. He might be able to sort of whittle it down. And then on the other end, in terms of Rashi, as I mentioned before, there is a kash on Rashi. But on the other hand, you have kashas and tesis. If you look at the Rashba, he has an interesting approach. He seems to want to go back to Rashi. He's bothered by the kashas and tesis. He says, let's go back to Rashi. He gives a little twist. And I noticed just before that the footnotes in the Rashba point out that Rashba seems to tweak Rashi a little bit. While Rashi had said, it'll grow back, but not quite the same, the Rashba says, it'll grow back even better. You harvest it. You harvest the pre-grain grass to get the grain to really grow. And it's something that apparently the Rashba is often done by grain farmers. You might want to clear away the grass and do something, I don't know, it's wild grass or it's related. But you often would harvest the shachas. Sounds almost like you shave to get the beard to grow better. So you harvest as the pre-grain grass to get the, so like pruning the grass to get the grain to grow in. Pruning, I'm not sure if it's really true about facial hair or not, but definitely is true that if you prune a tree, your tree will grow better. So the Rashba says that is lo machal yakarna. It's not just that there's the simple reading of Rashi as well, something else will grow in its place. So the post says something will grow in its place, but I could have had both one and two. Now you took away one, I only have two. That's the machal yakarna. The Rashba says no. And you look at the footnotes in the Shikim of Kubetzas, where they quote the Rashba, could I have to take a look, the long footnote number six. page Mem Dal in the Masada of Kukshiz and Metzes, he explains what it means. It's something that people often don't care about. Because if I have a grain field, what I'm really interested in is the grain. The grass that grows preliminarily, many people taka don't care about. So I could have made the argument, lo machalia karma, because I didn't hit the main point of this field. You ate the grass. Lots of people don't even care about that grass, so they might just cut it and throw it out. Some people cut it and would care about it. But this isn't a grass field. It's not a hay field. There are hay fields out there. But this is a barley field. This is a wheat field. So I would have thought, hey, if it's a wheat field, don't only cut your mazik the wheat. Your mazik the grass. That's lo machalika. Yes, you destroyed the grass, but the grass isn't the primary product. It's almost like ikar and tuffle. The grass is a tuffle. So I would have thought, the case of Ubir is mammoth. The rabbit, my rabbit, walked into your carrot farm and ate your carrots. A carrot farm grows carrots. You're mazik the carrots. That's a real hazik. It walked in the carrot farm, was mazik some sorry thing that maybe you don't even care about. It ate some of the weeds. I would imagine, you know, that's not the carrot. That's not the main point. That's not the ikar of this field. So I would have had a habamir that you're not tired. Kamashmon, no. Ikar tafel, doesn't matter. You're a mazik, even something that maybe people wouldn't care about, but he does care about. If you were mazik, the item, you have to pay regardless whether it's ikar tafel. So it's sort of like that Rashi gives like a tweak to Rashi's approach. It is slightly different than the way Rashi presents, because it's not about the same thing will grow again, but not as good. It's something else is growing later, and that's the main point. But that's the way the Rashi seems to understand Rashi, and that solves the kasha of Tosafot. Tomorrow's Shem will begin by addressing, looking at that second kasha against Tosafot that Rav Tali raises.